Now, with, you know, modern homes, because of the high-tech, you know, envelope that
well,
we have.
All the poly, the 6
and all the
poly.
Vapor barrier on the inside. I believe they've changed the code. Now, don't quote me on it, but in our new house, because the walls are solid concrete, they're called mass walls. And that's a different topic entirely. We could go on forever. But there is no air leakage. There's no air transfer from inside to outside. And you definitely don't want, even in a standard stick-framed home, you don't want the inside air mingling with the air in the walls, which is outside air.
Well, because then you get frost.
Condensation leads to mold, and mold leads to health issues, right?
Right.
So... but new houses are you know, the code is strict and they're well built, and so it's called an HRV system that's installed.
That's what you put in your house.
Yeah.
And that's what you need is that HRV system.
And you know, it's an extra expense, okay? Yes, it's an extra expense. But in our house, it was pretty much required because
if I was going to build a house, I would seriously put one of those in.
I would highly
recommend.
Yeah, do you want me to roughly explain what an HRV
sure,
is?
Yeah.
Okay, HRV, heat recovery ventilator.
Right.
It's not an air conditioning unit, but it's simply an air exchange unit. A very small box, about the size of a suitcase. Less size, you know, even a small one for a small house is the size of a carry-on bag for your, right. You know, going on the airport. But, and so what it does is it draws the air in from outside and draws the exhausts, the stale air, back out. And as they go through the box, they cross through a little, special little filter, which is the, like a heat exchanger. And so you're warming your incoming air. So you can leave it running, year round. And basically what happens is the outgoing air warms your incoming air. So then you're not cooling off your house. I believe they have about a 70% efficiency rate. So, you know, you are losing a little bit of energy, a little bit of warm air through the walls. But what's going to happen is that you've 100% cycled the air through your home, and you're not breathing the same air all the time. And what happens is that it links then with the bathrooms and your kitchen, so those rooms are constantly exhausting stale air, and then your fresh air is coming in all the time, and each room has its own separate supply. And so one of the common things that the heating companies are actually doing now or using is another form of is air pump. And if you're struggling with warming your home and keeping the energy costs down, definitely consider a heat pump. It's not the same as an HRV, but a heat pump can take, now they've got a heat pump. If you've got in-floor heat and you've got a boiler that's working hard, and you're complaining of the bill, you can add a heat pump now to that. So it takes the air, the heat out of the air, converts it to energy, and heats your water for your in-floor heats, which is a slightly different topic. I'm sorry, I might have gone off.
Well, no, I if I'm going to build, I want to have a fairly inexpensive way of building. And I'm a big fan of the electric baseboards. I mean, maybe I'm just stupid or old-fashioned. But, you know, I love electric baseboards. You know why?
Well, they're easy.
They're simple, and yeah. They're cheap, and they're robust. You cannot, you know, out of all the years I've had electric baseboards, I've never actually broken one.
Right, they never seem to die.
No, I mean, and the thing is, the beauty of the electric baseboards is that each room you can zone, turn into a zone, so
correct.
You can turn the heat down. Now, the only thing I don't like about electric baseboards is the problem is you get stale air in the house. Because, see, with forced air, you're moving it, and that's where this whole, what do you call it,
HRV system, which is the air circulation
system. With a combination of the baseboards would be a really good way to go, because then you'd solve the problem of the stagnant air in the house. Like if you have baseboards and you just keep them going, you know, like a lot of times,
sure.
If we're not using a room, we've just got it turned off. And
It makes sense. Baseboards work in an area where you have, like you said, zoned rooms. And if you have 8 or 9 foot flat ceilings, a house like mine with a 19 foot peak
right.
inside, that baseboard heat would just disappear into the vault,
right,
into the cavity there.
Right. And well, that's where the in-floor heat is now.
Yeah, and so with radiant heat, you know, radiant heat technically doesn't rise above chest level. Right.
See, I mean, the only thing I don't like about in-floor heat, and after working as a plumber and putting them in myself and building places with them, is that they are prone to expensive repairs.
Yeah, and you've got a lot of moving parts, but nowadays...
I mean, I worked for Ron the plumber on the island here. You know, Ron was a magical guy. I mean, he was... I called him the absent-minded professor. And one time we were at a house, and it had this massive boiler. And I won't... It's just quite a famous person on the island here. You know, big house, 5,200 square footer. Massive boiler, you know, with probably about 15 different zones. And it had, you know, different zone valves, three-way zone valves on each one. It had circulating pumps. And Ron looked at me and said, you know what this system is, Scott? And I said, what is it, Ron? He goes, it's a plumber's retirement plan.
It's like a Fiat, right? Fix it again, Tony, or something.
Yeah, I mean,
like that.
You know, like, and so, you know, that's always stuck in my mind with those systems. I mean, they're complex systems.
Yeah.
I mean, they're beautiful if you have the money and you want to do it, but they're complex and they can cause.
Anything coming from ships and working on ships, we had this rule. If you've got it on the ship, you've got to be able to fix it.
Yeah.
And if you can't fix it, don't have it on the ship.
You know, and that's why, you know, in some ways I really, you know, that's why I've always gone back to the baseboards. You know, and you do the cost analysis to any type of heating system and you look at, well, even if there's more savings, it's like heat pumps, right? There's a huge savings with, they say, from heat pumps to baseboards.
Right.
But heat pumps, generally, you know, most of the manufacturers warranty are about 5 years, and they're a huge compressor that's sitting outside. Mm-hmm.
And they are noisy, you know, if you have a nice quiet neighborhood and all of a sudden you introduce the heat pump, you know, you've got it's a refrigerator running in reverse is what it is. And there's that noise, that fan that runs
all
the time.
10 years so down the road, they're a little bit noisier.
Right. And if everybody gets a heat pump.
Well, and the repair bills, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
they just end up just, because they're sitting outside, they're just prone to weather. And
they just die.
And
well, you can repair them, but it's expensive. It's not something you can fix yourself.
Cheaper, again, one of those same old stories, you know.
Well, that's why, you know, you have to look at the cost analysis of, you know, how much cheaper is it to heat with a baseboard over what period of time? Mm-hmm. How cheap are baseboards, like $40 for a 6-foot baseboard? It'll never break, so then I've got no downside on my maintenance repair. Okay, it may cost me a little bit more to run, but then I can turn that room off if I don't mm-hmm. want it.
Mm-hmm.
Where you look at the heat pump, you're heating the whole house because, mind you, you're getting the air circulating through the whole house, which is really nice. So
I know it's always a toss up, isn't it? I mean, it's you know, if you live in the desert climate,
if you live in a desert,
it's a different story. If you live in
if you need it as an air conditioner.
Right.
Because they work as air
conditioners. Yes, or the interior. Say Kelowna, Vernon, say the interior.
Where it gets really stifling.
You run your heat pump in reverse, and you're actually air conditioning your home.
Yeah, so see, in some climates, it really, on the coast.
Right, you always have a breeze, you can open some windows.
Yeah, there's no bugs. See, we don't have that fear of mosquitoes, so we can, even if you have no screens, you can open the windows.
Well, if you like baseboard heat and the electric heat, I guess one of the things about the baseboards,
Go
ahead.
But that's the downfall. It's the stagnant air.
The stagnant air. So, one recommendation, it's not over the top as far as cost, now it's more cost than baseboard heat, is you can do electric radiant wire in a thin slab.
Those are nice in shower rooms
or bathrooms.
Say
a bathroom
or kitchen.
You know, we had a client actually that I don't know, 600 or 800 square foot main floor.
We
did the entire main floor, kitchen, dining, living, entryway, in electric radiant wire, tiny little wire that's about an 1/8-inch diameter, spaced about 4 inches apart.
See, at a certain point, then you might as well go with a water system, though.
The cool thing about this is that the electricians just laid it, and then the tile setters came in, they do their mud coat over top, and encase the wire, entomb the wire, whatever, and then laid tile. They laid tile, because they had three dogs or four dogs. We laid tile through the entire main floor of the entire house. And the neat thing about that is that there was no moving parts.
Yeah. I'm going to have to break you there, Alex. Oh. We're going to have to stop for a quick commercial break, so all of our valued listeners, both of you, hang on to your seats. We're going to be right back with Radio Real Estate, Scott Simmons and his friend Alex Danny. Scott Simmons, 1% Realtor for Vancouver Island, Salt Spring Agent 4, and Alex Danny with Portside
Woodworks here on Salt Spring Island.
We'll be right back. Hang tough. If I get this to work.
The wheels and the bus go round and round all through the town.
When you see a school bus on the road, be prepared to stop quickly. Flashing yellow lights are your first warning. Flashing red lights mean kids will be getting on or off the bus, and you should stop, even if you are on the opposite side of the road. If you break the law and injure or kill a child because you were impatient or distracted, there will be dire consequences for you and your family. Pay attention. Watch for school buses and stop when they stop. A message from the School Bus Information Council.
Dad?
Spring has sprung and I'm bouncing on down to Sports Traders on my old pogo stick to get some outdoor equipment.
Ooh, to get a new bike?
No way!
A skateboard?
Not even close!
Rollerblades?
Nope.
Well, you can get all those items at Sports Traders.
Yeah, I know. I'm bouncing barefoot, so I need running shoes.
Yeah, they have all that and more at Sports Traders.
Oops. Spring will be sprung, so enjoy all your outdoor activities by going to Sports Traders.
Every 20 seconds, a child dies from a water-related disease because many countries and villages do not have filtered wells. Water can carry microbes that may cause diseases. Tourists who visit these regions are also likely to pick up these dangerous parasites if they drink contaminated water or eat raw food that has been washed in such water.
Unclean water is a big problem in the world. Environmental groups such as Greenpeace help people learn about water pollution and how to prevent it. Strict laws in many countries also prevent factories, farms, and cities from polluting water sources. How much clean water do they have left in Africa?
People are dying from dirty water. Every 20 seconds, a child dies from water-related diseases. 15% of people are forced to live with water that can kill them. Nearly 1,000 people lack access to water.
It makes us feel kind of guilty that we are so lucky and other people are so poor.
It makes me feel guilty because my country is polluting the water that they drink.
This message has been brought to you by the Water Drops, guardians of Ganges Creek.
If you're thinking of selling your Salt Spring home, call Scott Simmons, Salt Spring Realtor for 1% Realty, Vancouver Island. Over the last 2 years, I've sold 18 homes and my clients have saved literally thousands of dollars in commissions. Why pay full commissions? Sell with 1% Realty. Call Scott Simmons at 538-8316.
You're on the sweet spot on your FM dial. It's 107.9 here on the Rock. We got a radio live to the internet too. CFSI.
Let's go straight into spring. I'm Dr. Richard Hayden, and no, we can't skip winter. But with short-term adult orthodontics, we can have your teeth beautiful and straight by spring, or have you well on your way with Invisalign, invisible braces. Call for complimentary consultation and receive free tooth whitening with any case started in November or December. If not for you, why not give the gift of a dazzling smile? It's Dr. Richard Hayden, 250-537-1400. We have a smile just for you.
And it's Scott Simmons with his friend Alex Denny. We're back, Radio Real Estate, for the 20th. It changes every day. How do I keep up? 29th of March, 2011. You know, I've got the year thing right now.
We're time along flies, the as they say, I guess. Hey, Scott.
You know, it does. I mean, it's amazing. Now, you know, that's why home construction is it's a big topic. And, I mean, people always think, you know, how much does it cost per square foot? I've just got a client. We're putting an offer in on a place, and we've been going back and forth and trying to figure out what it's worth. And, you know, appraisals say, you know, say it's not as worth that much. And, you know, they're saying, the sellers are saying it's worth this much. And trying to figure out the per square foot cost, it's such a... The per square foot cost is such a arbitrary figure anyway.
It's a broad topic, isn't it? I mean,
depends on the construction technique. It depends on what you're doing. It depends on the site.
Finishes, materials.
Well, even the site. If you're steep and rocky, or if you're flat and easy
digging. Arable.
Yeah. You know, if you can get down to bedrock right there and just scrape off a bit of the surface soil and you're on bedrock and you can pour a slab, then it's so much cheaper than if you're on the side of a hill and you've got to get Big Dave from Dave's Blasting to come out there and just start blasting away and digging.
Oh, yeah. If you're building a new house, yeah, definitely agreed. You know, labor is a huge component. And really, I mean...
Labor's costs are 50%, at least.
At least. Basically... I costed it out our house, and you know, concrete and steel and so forth is expensive, and the polystyrene blocks were expensive.
ICFs.
Yes. You can call them anything you want. Big boy Legos. I mean.
Big boy Legos.
But anyway, but you know, you pretty much have to budget $100 a foot for materials.
Right.
Now, in the good old days, you used to be able to have a home built for $100 a foot.
Right.
So, here in Salt Spring, I'm sure it's the same for Victoria, Vancouver. You know, labor might be a little bit cheaper, and materials may be slightly cheaper over in Shemanis, Crofton, Duncan.
It all depends on how much money you have and how much you have to spend.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, somebody comes to me and says, "I've got a budget, you know, of $10 million. Do you think I can build a house?" It's like. Well, I'm pretty sure we can, you know, like, you know, you might be a little short, but I'm sure we can go through the whole $10 million.
Oh, you can spend, it's pretty obvious, you can spend as much as you want.
I mean, you know, it's no problem. I mean, Alex will get some trees, and I always joke that Alex could whittle someone a house. So, you know, if they give you $10 million, you can start whittling, and...
10 years, and you might have your... I don't know if you've ever been to Europe, but, you know, in Germany, there...
So it depends on how big your castles. Budget is, and then how much do you want out of that budget.
Right.
And what are you really looking for? Like, are you looking for...
And it comes down to needs and wants.
Yeah.
Right? So you need a couple of bedrooms. You need a couple of bathrooms.
Right.
Maybe you can get away with... If it's just two adults, maybe you can have one full bath and a half bath.
The days of, you know, that's why... In the 70s, it would be like 3 bedrooms, 1 bath.
Right.
Now it's a ratio of more bath.
One to one, almost.
Or more. I would say bedrooms to bath, 1 to 1, but then you have to have a powder room on top of that.
Right.
Because you have to have a powder room for guests coming to the house, because you can never expect them to use... Washrooms have become private domains now of the bedroom, basically.
En suites, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, if there's a bedroom by it, that's that bedroom's bathroom, and nobody else goes in there. So, you know, guests use... So a house actually has to have more bathrooms now
than
bedrooms.
In new home design, yeah. And so...
Which it really drives up the price.
Yeah, and now, of course, you know, you're in real estate, obviously, and, you know, lot value is one thing, and home value. And realistically, and I think I've learned this too myself, you know, matching the home style and design and square footage...
That's not your foot I'm playing with, is it?
To the
My foot's itchy, and I'm rubbing it, and I couldn't see it. I saw Alex smiling, and I'm like, that better not be his foot. I gotta check. Oh, thank God! It's just okay.
Somebody's pet.
Sorry, we're off topic, but that's okay.
Your shoes are.
I had an itchy foot on the bottom, and I was rubbing it. And anyways,
this isn't a personal radio show, is it?
No, I'm sure there's one or two other people listening. And
no, anyways, back to the subject. What was the subject? Oh yeah, you know, so you're pricing your home. If you're building a new home,
right.
Pricing it for the lot.
Right.
So if you have, say, a 5,000 square foot lot, you don't want to build a 5,000. Well, you can't because you have to be in from the edges. You don't want to build a 3,000 square foot home on a 5,000 square foot lot necessarily. You know,
there's that ratio that you want to have in real estate between lot value and the overall price. And once you get over about 50%, then, you know, the devaluating asset is the house.
Right, right. So you look
the
at...
The lot is the thing that usually will evaluate.
Right, because it is the only thing that is really tangible. I mean, a home, unfortunately, the way...